Montgomery, Joba, Berlin. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from very near the Transparency International Secretariat headquarters. Today is Thursday, the 16th of October. On this date in 1384, Jadwiga is crowned King of Poland, although she is a woman. Wait, hasn't that happened before somewhere? 1781, George Washington's troops capture Yorktown. 1793, 9 months after the execution of her husband, Louis XVI, Marie Antoinette is beheaded. 1841, Queen's University is founded in Kingston, Ontario. 1854, the first time an obscure congressional candidate, Abraham Lincoln, speaks out against slavery and the Kansas-Nebraska Act. 1859, abolitionist John Brown leads a small group on a raid against a federal armory in Harper's Ferry in what is now West Virginia in an attempt to start an armed slave revolt and destroy the institution of slavery. 1875, Brigham Young University is founded in Provo, Utah. 1916, in Brooklyn, New York, Margaret Sanger opens the first family planning clinic in the United States. 1934, on this date, the Long March starts of the embattled Chinese Communist Party. They traveled 10,000 kilometers, more than the distance between New York and San Francisco, and back. It is the longest continuous march in the history of warfare. Mao's position as supreme leader is assured by the time is over. In 1939, the first attack on British territory by the German Luftwaffe. 1940, the Warsaw Ghetto is established. 1958, Chevrolet introduces the El Camino. 1964, China explodes the atomic bomb, joining the U.S., Soviet Union, and Great Britain and France as a nuclear weapon power. 1975, two-year-old girl in Bangladesh is the last known person to be infected with naturally occurring smallpox. 1978, Karol Wojtyla is elected Pope John Paul II after the conclave, the first non-Italian pontiff since 1523. 1998, former Chilean dictator General Augusto Pinochet is arrested in London on a warrant from Spain requesting his extradition on murder charges. Birthdays are Noah Webster, Oscar Wilde, Tim Robbins, and Manute Bol. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politra column this week is a briefing on the upcoming U.S. midterm elections for Georgian readers. Thanks again for those posting on our forum, particularly the shout-out from Jody. And I quote, "The most amazing thing to me about Ekagulova's story is not that Abkhazian IDPs were cheated, sad as that is, but that people could advertise for bids for a major building renovation for a building they had no right to, get the money, spend it, and nobody noticed. Doesn't that set some kind of new standard for governmental dysfunction?" End quote. It really is a great article. Check it out in last week's Stuff to Read. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tepeelpod.com or send us an email at tepeelpod@gmail.com. Following up on previous week's story on the political crisis in Abkhazia. Wow. On the 11th of October, Abkhaz President Raul Khajimba, doing exactly what he was hired to do, said that the new Comprehensive Cooperation Treaty with Russia, which they plan to sign before the end of the year, will enhance Abkhazia's military alliance with Moscow and help modernize the Abkhaz army. He also said that efforts should be made to increase the prestige of military service for youth and to boost military patriotic education. On the 13th of October, a draft of the treaty titled, quote, "Agreement between the Russian Federation and the Republic of Abkhazia on Alliance and Integration," end quote, was posted on the website of the official Abkhaz news agency, Opsny Press. The treaty was presented to Sukhumi by Russia. According to the draft, the key directions of the partnership will be carrying out a mutually agreed foreign policy, the creation of a common defense and security space, and the creation of a common social and economic space. Some details about what it entails. In terms of defense, it entails establishing a common defense infrastructure, setting up a combined force for the purpose of repelling aggression, and joint measures for border protection. It also has a collective defense clause that an attack against one is considered an attack against the other. Within the year of the agreement going into force, Moscow and Sukhumi must create a combined group of Abkhaz and Russian forces with a joint command. But in wartime, or in the case of the imminent threat of aggression, Russia will appoint a commander. Russia will fund all the measures to bring the Abkhaz forces up to unification standards. In terms of border protection and law enforcement, there's planned near complete freedom of movement across the Russian-Abkhaz border, and Russia will provide assistance to protect the Abkhaz-Georgian border. As a reminder, last week, Khajimba stated they desire to close down all but one crossing point between Abkhazia and Georgia. Some more details on the draft treaty within 8 months of the agreement going into force. Suchumi will have to put its customs legislation in line with the regulations of the Russian-led Eurasia Economic Union. Within 3 years, Abkhazia will have to harmonize its budgetary and tax legislation with the Russian one. Russia will co-finance the gradual salary increase for public service employees, including in healthcare, education, social services, cultural sectors. Russia will also fund the gradual increase of pensions for Russian citizens residing in Abkhazia. As a note, most of the residents of Abkhazia are Russian passport holders. The Georgian Foreign Ministry responded to the draft treaty on the 15th of October. They said if the treaty is signed, ongoing efforts to normalize Georgian-Russian relations will be endangered. They said that the treaty is a step towards the annexation of Abkhazia, and it will significantly damage the Geneva talks and demonstrates that Russia still continues violating the fundamental principles of international law. The treaty caused a row within the ruling Georgian Dream Coalition. Tedo Japaridze, who chairs the Parliamentary Committee for Foreign Affairs, said on the 14th of October that the treaty speaks directly about annexation and that Georgia should not participate in the next round of Abashidze-Karasin talks, which is a series of informal Georgian-Russian diplomatic talks aimed at improving relations, mainly in trade. The next round of Abashidze-Karasin talks begins the 16th of October in Prague. Zura Abashidze, the Prime Minister's special envoy to Russia, immediately responded to Japaridze's remarks, saying that, quote, if my old friend had called me, I would have told him and explained why I'm going to the meeting. But it appears his brakes failed, end quote. He went on to say the Japaridze statement might be attributed to his old age. Japaridze is 68, Abashidze is 63. Abashidze left on the 15th of October for Prague and said the issue of the treaty would be discussed at the talks. More on reactions to the Russians' proposed draft treaty with Abkhazia. On the 15th of October, the U.S. ambassador to Georgia, Richard Norland, commented that at least militarily, it's a little hard to imagine more integration than there already is, since there's no real Abkhaz military to speak of. He continued to reiterate U.S. support for Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity. On the Abkhaz side, reportedly some senior officials are expressing concerns over losing sovereignty. Speaker of the Abkhaz Parliament, Valery Ganba, commented on an interview with Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty's Echo Kavkaza on the 14th of October, saying, there are more questions than answers. When asked about how lawmakers reacted to the draft when it was presented to them by Khajimba, he responded, I would not like to use the word negative, but frankly speaking, the reaction was close to that. Lawmakers do not fully agree with such a version of the treaty. On the 15th of October, President Margvelashvili said that if the treaty is signed, it will deteriorate the military-political situation and will pose a security threat to the entire region. He called on Parliament to promptly discuss and elaborate their position on the draft treaty so that the National Security Council can then plan steps to stabilize the situation. You know, this is, no real surprise, but this is a pretty serious step. I mean, the interesting question is what the Georgians should do. I mean, saying that, oh, this is not good and whatever else doesn't really matter. But, you know, pity the poor Abkhaz. It's not really clear what they can do. And fairly modest channels that happen largely through Georgia's Minister of Defense, I mean, what he ought to do is say, please tell us to the Abkhaz is, what would you like us to do right now, and how can we help? I can't imagine that there's been a lower ebb in Russian-Abkhaz relations. Two former members of the Ministry of Internal Affairs are accused of kidnapping a 19-year-old man for ransom. On the 13th of October, four people were arrested in the alleged kidnapping. According to the MIA, two members of the gang entered the Tbilisi house of Yosef Gheorghelidze and his family and kidnapped him. Then they contacted his father and demanded a $300,000 ransom for his son's release. Gheorghelidze was released and is now in safety. In a video released by the MIA, he thanks the police for freeing him. It appears that the ransom money was paid. Police found $298,100 and a cache of weaponry containing two automatic rifles, four hand grenades, and four pairs of masks and gloves. One of the detainees told police about a place in the woods where the gang hid the money and weapons. The remaining $10,900 was found with a different member of the group. According to the MIA, the kidnappers are Durmesh Khan Kavshaliani, 52, and a former member of the Constitutional Security Department, or CUDI, and Jemal Shonia, 37, a former member of the Special Operations Department, or SODI, under the UNM. CUDI and SODI were headed by Datta Khalaya and Erekli Kodua, respectively, both close allies of Misha. CUDI more or less replaced SODI after 2008, when everybody got ticked off at Erekli Kodua for being Erekli Kodua and sort of pulled the rug out from under him. Both departments have been disbanded and reorganized. The two remaining members of the gang are Alexandre Chanturia, 31, and Gheorghe Kaldani, 36. Prime Minister Kharabashvili commented on the kidnapping and pointed a finger at the UNM. He said the two former MIA officers were fired from the ministry 2 years ago when he was head of the MIA. Although the UNM disputes that and says that one was fired when they were in power. He elaborated that I have a well-founded suspicion that an organized force is behind this. I have an impression that it carries the signature of the national movement. Kharabashvili added that it would all be brought out in an investigation because they used to rape and torture people at the police stations and in the prisons, used to kidnap and murder people, end quote. The whole Ministry of Internal Affairs was in the hands of such criminals, kidnappers. Oh, sorry, the quote continues. The whole Ministry of Internal Affairs was in the hands of such murderers, kidnappers, and criminals and robbers, and they were ruling Georgia, end quote. He then threatened, I want to remind them once more, and it is my final warning, that if they conceive something against the state or against the people, they will be strictly punished. This was all while attending a charity concert at Tbilisi Concert Hall for the performance by American Grammy-winning trumpeter Chris Botti. UNM responded at a press conference on the 14th of October. Prime Minister Nugzar Tsiklaoudi said the prime minister is disseminating a lie in the best practice of Felix Dzerzhinsky and Nikolai Yezhov, who were the heads of the Soviet secret police in the 1930s, responsible for witch hunts and purges. Tsiklaoudi said that the government uses these lies to put pressure on the political opposition and also to justify its inability to handle the crime situation. Quote, this statement indicates that the government has totally lost control over the political process. We call on the authorities to stop the maligning practice of breaking up society, end quote. UNM Member of Parliament Dato Darciashvili said that Kharabashvili's comment was in the style of authoritarian regimes. UNMP and Vice Speaker of Parliament Gia Baramidze said, if Kharabashvili has really accused UNM of kidnapping a man, then I will tell him that he's a dishonest slanderer and the worst piece of scum. Ooh. A seventh jihadi from the Pankisi Gorge was killed in Syria, fighting alongside the Islamic State. According to the Kakheti Information Center, the report was later confirmed by the deputy head of the Ahmet Gamgeoba. 22-year-old Guram Gumashvili was killed in a battle in the northern Syrian city of Kobani, which is being defended by the Syrian Kurdish militia from IS. Regarding IS fighters from Pankisi, it was reported that IS commander Omar al-Shishani, i.e. Tarkhan Batirashvili, had a telephone conversation with his father, who still lives in the Pankisi Gorge. The father, Timur Batirashvili, relayed that his son said, "Don't worry, Dad, I'll come home and show the Russians. I have many thousands following me now, and I'll get more. We'll have our revenge against Russia." Following up on the ongoing story of foreign citizens having visa problems with Georgia and residence card problems, a group of Armenians from Akhalkaliki in Georgia's Samkhachavakheti region appealed to the president of the Armenian National Assembly, Galust Sahakyan, for help before his official visit to Tbilisi on the 6th of October. In a letter, they wrote that the new visa laws allowing foreigners to stay in Georgia for only 90 days within a 180-day period significantly hindered their lives. They explained that within the past years, thousands of Javakh Armenians renounced their Georgian citizenship to receive either Armenian or Russian citizenship instead in order to travel to Russia for seasonal work. Now they can only legally reside in the country for a total of 6 months of the year. They claimed that contrary to government assurances, that they will easily receive permanent residency status. Thousands have had their applications rejected. Regarding the South Caucasus, on the 10th of October, Armenia officially joined the Eurasia Economic Union. The agreement was signed by Armenian President Serge Sarkisian in Minsk. It was attended by Putin, Belarus President Lukashenko, and Kazakh President Nazarbayev. The meeting, they also agreed on a roadmap for Kyrgyzstan and to join the European Economic Union. As a reminder, in September 2013, Armenia suddenly announced that it would join the Russia-led Eurasia Union. The 11th of October, police found an illegal cache of weapons and armaments in Akhalkalaki. The Interior Ministry reported that officers found 128 anti-tank missiles, 3,969 detonators for anti-tank missiles, and 15,480 various types of detonators at the site. An investigation is in progress. It appears that Russia is building a new highway across the Caucasus, the Avado-Kakheti route, to go through Dagestan to Georgia. Thus far, the only road that connects Russia to Georgia and Armenia is the Georgian military road from the Larsi border crossing. The original Avado-Kakheti road was built in the 19th century by the Russian Empire through the Dagestani mountains for military use and was used during Soviet times, but less so than the military road or the Roki route. The Georgian government, however, is skeptical about the project as a security threat. According to reporting from Democracy and Freedom Watch, the Ministry of Regional Development and Infrastructure said they had no contact or consultation about it with either Dagestan or Russia. They are not planning any construction work on the Georgian side of the former Avado-Kakheti road. However, because of steps in Abkhazia, they're ticked off and intend to blow up the Roki tunnel. Just kidding. Deputy Minister of Internal Affairs Levan Izoria told Rustaviotti that law enforcers are investigating alleged plans by the UNM to destabilize the country and overthrow the government. He said the investigation was launched on the basis of operational information under Article 315 of the Criminal Code, which refers to conspiracy to change the government through violent means. He did not reveal further details, of course. As a reminder, on the 10th of September, Tbilisi newspaper Alia published an interview with Interior Minister Alexandre Chaidze, who also accused UNM of planning mass unrest in order to destabilize the country and return to power. He hinted that there was an investigation. Also in connection with the kidnapping for ransom case this week in which two former MIA people were allegedly involved, Prime Minister Kharabashvili pointed to the UNM that if they conceive of something against the state or against the people, they will be strictly punished. On the 11th of October, the Padovani hydropower plant opened in Samska Javakheti near the border with Turkey. The dam will supply electricity to the Georgian market during the winter and export power to Turkey the remaining months of the year. Prime Minister Kharabashvili, Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze, and Turkey's Minister of Energy and Natural Resources Tunder Yildiz attended the opening. The plant is operated and owned by Georgia Urban Energy and was built by Turkish conglomerate Anadolu Group. According to the Energy Ministry, a total of about $200 million was invested in the project. The EBRD gave $52 million loan to finance the power plant. The IFC contributed $40 million. Another $23 was from commercial banks. New York Times published a letter by Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usubashvili titled, Saakashvili Prosecuted by His Own Past and Not Putin's Accomplice, Ivanishvili. Usubashvili focuses on the concerns raised by Georgia's international friends and partners regarding Misha's indictment and sentencing to pretrial detention in absentia. He says he understands that, quote, they fear that signs of political persecution and retaliation may emerge in a country with weak democratic institutions, but these fears are unfounded. Addressing Misha's statement that he is actually being persecuted through Putin via Ivanishvili, the largest Gazprom shareholder, Usubashvili writes that debating whether or not Bidzina Ivanishvili has been consciously, methodically, and consistently pursuing Russia's interest is immature and embarrassing. He then praises BI's merit and service to the country, democratic development through his charity work. He concludes that the only person who finds any grounds to continue the Putin-Gazprom Ivanishvili soap opera is Misha, which he understands because a person charged by the prosecutor's office is not obliged to tell the truth and testify against himself. Justice Minister Ted Tsoulikiani told Rustaviotti that she is looking forward to this upcoming March when Kote Kubalashvili's term as head of the Supreme Court will end. He was appointed for a 10-year term in 2005. She said she hopes that Georgia will then have a worthy head of the Supreme Court and that they must confront the UNM for imposing on judges to render unjust verdicts. That judges right now are not allowed to talk about how they are being manipulated. Kachishvili was appointed the new Deputy Minister of Corrections on the 13th of October by Minister Georgi Mgevrishvili. The position of First Deputy Minister has been vacant since Giga Giorgadze left the post alongside former Corrections Minister Sosar Subadi, who was reappointed the Minister of Refugees by Prime Minister Kharibashvili. Two Georgian citizens were detained in Abkhazia's Gali district this week. According to the Interior Ministry, they said two young men from Western Georgia allegedly went to Abkhazia to pick nuts. They are currently in a holding cell in Sukhumi. The Interior Minister informed the EUMM about their detention. USS Mount Whitney, the flagship for the European-headquartered U.S. 6th Fleet, docked at Batumi on the 14th of October. According to the U.S. Embassy at Tbilisi, Mount Whitney's visit reaffirms the United States' commitment to strengthening ties with NATO allies and partners like Georgia. Since 2008, this was the 143rd official reaffirmation of the U.S. commitment to strengthening ties with NATO allies and partners like Georgia. On the 12th of October, there was a symbolic football match between Tbilisi and Skhin Valley football teams in Gori. Prime Minister Kharibashvili played for Tbilisi in the first half and the Skhin Valley team in the second. The Tbilisi team was composed of government members, including Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze, Interior Minister Alexandre Chaidze, and famous Georgian football players. The Skhin Valley team was composed mainly of football players from Skhin Valley. Before the match, the Prime Minister said the game was a step towards restoring confidence between Georgians and Ossetians. About 9 tons of garbage was removed from Kazbegi this week via border police helicopter. Local residents and personnel from Betlemi Hut, which hosts trekker climbing in the mountains, took part in the cleanup organized by the National Tourism Administration of Georgia. The last time Kazbegi was cleaned was 2004. The entire city of Tbilisi will be on Google Maps by 2015. Currently, only 8 districts are mapped. The process of mapping Tbilisi was initiated and organized by the National Agency of Public Registry, or so they said. On the 14th of October, Orthodox Christians in Georgia celebrated in Chetoba, Shchetis Chovloba. It celebrates Georgia's ancient capital city and its cathedral, where monarchs were crowned and also buried. It was a public holiday. Georgia's soldiers serving in the ISAF mission were awarded special certificates and coins for carrying out a successful mission in Afghanistan's Kandahar Air Base. The commander of ISAF Joint Commanders honored them in a ceremony on the 15th of October. On the 10th of October, a new 5-kilometer stretch of road opened on the Ruisi-Agata Highway in eastern Georgia. The full 19-kilometer construction of the highway is expected to be completed in 2015. The World Bank has put 70 million lari into it. China is increasing scholarships for Georgian students in a deal signed between the Deputy Foreign Minister and Chinese Ambassador to Georgia. 20 Georgian students annually will have the opportunity to travel to China and study the language. A group from the International Olympic Committee was in Georgia earlier this week to discuss the 13th European Youth Olympic Festival. Tbilisi will host the festival in July 2015. They ought to take a look at the construction of the swimming pool. More than 4,000 athletes from 49 countries are expected to participate. IOC President Thomas Bach paid tribute to Georgian luger Nodar Kumaratishvili, who died at the 2010 Vancouver Olympic Games. The work of Switzerland-based Georgian artist Andrew Vekua is being exhibited in London at the Spruth Magers Art Gallery. It will run until the 15th of November. Vekua, which is spelled W-E-K-U-A, grew up in Sukhumi and lived there during the wars of the early 90s. Minister for European and Euro-Atlantic Immigration Alex Petriashvili was in Warsaw to attend some NATO event. A top U.S. official commented Georgia's sacrifice to NATO. Derek Cholet, Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Affairs, said on the 11th of October that, quote, Georgia is a powerful and impressive partner and has sacrificed for NATO more than many other allies, end quote. Georgia will host the 2016 Youth World Wrestling Championship. Decision was made by the International Wrestling Federation. Georgian-born pianist Eliso Bolkhwadze was named a UN Artist for Peace for her work and for promoting charitable organizations. She is the first Georgian to receive the honor. From the 11th to the 18th of October, Tel Aviv is hosting an international classical music festival featuring musicians from Georgia, Germany, Austria, Poland, and Switzerland. The festival is celebrating its 30th anniversary this year. There's a new documentary film called Bozzo, directed by Tom Waters, about Georgian Vakhtang Kodishelli. According to a review in the New York Times, Mr. Kodishelli, now 92 and called Bozzo by even his youngest students, grew up in Tbilisi. We learned that Mr. Kodishelli dug frontline trenches during World War II and suffered in a Nazi POW camp. After the war, he studied music and started a new life in the United States. When he decided to teach, he chose a small-town elementary school in Morro Bay, which now counts an unusual number of noted musicians among its alumni, including the conductor Kent Nagano, conductor of the famous Montreal Symphony Orchestra, who has nothing but exalted praise for his former teacher. With enough tragic restorative plot twists for a 12-hour miniseries, Bozzo is an enchanting feature film for two reasons. Mr. Kodishelli's humanity is magnetic, and no more beautiful case could be made for the psychological healing power of music. That's a quote. I don't usually talk about the psychological healing power of making music, although I believe in it. Anyway, New York Times really loved this, so watch it. Legal Issues Committee of Parliament considered amendments to change the composition of the National Security Council. According to the proposed bill, the Minister of Finance will no longer be a permanent member of the Council. Council will have new permanent members, the Parliamentary Speaker, Chairman of the Defense and Security Committee, and the Chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee, and the Chairman of the General Staff of the Georgian Armed Forces. Meanwhile, the President will be given the right to invite others to attend a session of the National Security Council. If the President wishes to invite a member of the government, he will need agreement from the Prime Minister, and if he wants to invite Parliamentary Committee Chairman, he will have to have agreement from the Parliamentary Speaker. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, Gheorghe Lobzhanidze, poet and translator, talked about Georgia's school education system and how it affects the Georgian worldview. He explained that his daughter started first grade this year. He believes the education system, as in the communist period, is oriented at killing a child's individuality and turning every student into a shapeless mass that is easy to rule. He was horrified when his daughter's homework was to learn about, with pictures, the beheading of Georgian figure Abo Tbileli. He says the teachers mean to rouse an Orthodox spirit in children, but he thinks it infects them with xenophobia, especially regarding people from the Middle East or Asia. In the end, he recalls a poem by Greek poet Konstantinos Kavafis. In the poem, the Greeks are so afraid of invasion by barbarians that they build gates, close the streets, and fortify the city, and in the end make their city so ugly that they understand it is they who are the barbarians. Lesson to be learned from Gheorghe Lobzhanidze, who is a very cool guy, by the way. The meme this week is a video going around social media, originally from YouTube, called Drunk Priest Quarreling with Police. Self-explanatory, but it is pretty appalling. It's just some drink. It's from a taken from a balcony or a window up above, some drunk, noggly priest who was pulled over and is being an idiot. The appalling thing is really the deference he has shown by the cops. Also, a second meme of the week, political cartoon that appears in an article by Russian news agency RIA Novosti. Title of the article is Georgia Welcome International Terrorists, depicts stereotypical Georgian characters standing on the Georgian flag welcoming jihadis with grapes and cha-cha. Stuff to read. Vasily Janiani writes for Forbes on why Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine should choose the EU over Putin's Eurasia Union. He argues that the EU outbeats Eurasia Union in terms of opportunities when looking at economic freedom, corruption, and political rights. Madonna Gasanova writes for the Financial on the dilemmas foreign investors looking to invest in agriculture in Georgia are now facing. This follows new restrictions on foreigners' ability to buy Georgian land. Joanna Paraziscu writes for Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty about fighters from Georgia's Pankisi Gorge and the relations with the Islamic State. Also, Michael Winfrey writes for Bloomberg on the topic. He says that the dynamic of Chechens fighting with the Islamic State and what this might mean for Russia. Continuing on the theme of Georgia's education system, Monica Elena writes for Eurasianet on the trouble with Georgia's teachers. They have low salaries, low work hours, and Soviet-style education, meaning Georgia's youth don't properly learn critical skills that will bring the country into the EU and out of poverty. ISET professor Eric Livney addresses the visa issue again in the government's statements that they will correct flaws in the law. He makes an interesting point. Quote, the fact that such a really big mistake are allowed to occur in the first place suggests that something is deeply flawed in the Georgian policymaking machine. Indeed, there was nothing particularly urgent about the legislation, and it could have benefited from a proper technical review, stakeholder consultations, and a public debate, none of which it had, by the way. The former CEO of ImediTV, an American, takes on the Misha legacy. He asks, quote, why do U.S. senators support a tyrant, end quote, for some clue on his views. He was the CEO of Imedi at the time it was taken over. It's an interesting read. He has very strong views, understandably, since he was actually there when the troops went in. It's in The Hill, which is the influential Washington newspaper for the U.S. Congress. He asks why McCain, et cetera, are so crazy about Misha. Alcohol specialty magazine Punch has a feature on Sichnachi and Georgian wine. Agenda.ge has a feature on the new partnership deal between San Diego State University and Tbilisi University that will allow Georgian students to get the San Diego degrees. All these things to read posted on our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 1.87 million. This is the amount in lotti issued in bonuses by Kutaisi City Hall in 2013, according to information released by the Institute for Development and Freedom of Information in Imedeti's local government's on Imedeti's local government bonuses. Amidani Cinema will be playing from the 16th to the 22nd of October, Dracula Untold at 10:30 and Gone Girl on the 21st and 22nd at 7:30. For those in London, the British Georgian Society and Georgian Embassy are hosting the UK launch of a new book about Georgia, Georgia, the Land Under the Caucasus by Peter F. Skinner, that's supposedly good. It will be on the 4th of October at 6:30 at the Georgian Embassy. For those in Tbilisi, until the 19th of October is CineDoc, Tbilisi Film Festival. Look up their Facebook schedules, some showtimes on both international and Caucasus documentary films. Just Google CineDoc, C-I-N-E-D-O-C, one word, and Tbilisi. There's a lot of good things showing. Check it out. From the 23rd to the 26th of October will be the Tbilisi Jazz Festival. For more details, see the festival, the page at tbilisijazz.com. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1951, Emil Barnes and the Louisiana Joymakers with St. Louis Blues.